Let's pray. Holy Spirit, yes, you're welcome in this place. You don't need an invitation. But God, I pray that you would help us to enter into your presence. Pray, God, that you would unfold to us the mysteries of your word. God, that they would penetrate deep into our hearts, Lord, and that we would be transformed. Holy Spirit, have your way among us right now. We surrender ourselves to your will. And we say, Lord, your will be done in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So happy Pentecost. So, surprisingly enough, I'm not going to preach on Pentecost today. Happy Pentecost. And happy Shavuot. Shavuot is the holiday of the Feast of Weeks in the Jewish tradition. It very rarely coincides with Pentecost. It happens from Friday until Monday. And Pentecost happens in that one day in between. And they intersect. I want to give you a quick parallel here. And I'm going to tie this into the message. Shavuot is the celebration that started at the first fruits and then became the Feast of Weeks and came to a conclusion at the giving of Torah when Moses went to Sinai and encountered the presence of God. We all know that story, right? Should I remind us? Moses is called by God to go up to the mountain to receive Torah from God. When he's up there, it says that Moses encounters God face to face, has this face-to-face encounter with the living God, comes down carrying the presence of God along with the laws. Okay, you got that? Pentecost begins with the celebration of our first fruits, the resurrected Christ, and is capped off by the Holy Spirit coming upon us, encountering us, and transforming us. Just like that presence of God transformed Moses, and he carried that presence with him down to the bottom of that mountain. Happy Pentecost. Happy Shavuot. As good Christians, we love to pray, especially on Pentecost. There's something about Pentecost for the gifts of the Spirit. We pray and we seek them, as good Christians should. We heed the words of God to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. God, give me the gift of healing. Give me the gift of prophecy. God, I want to speak in tongues. We seek them so powerfully, and then we start to neglect the rest. We pray and we pray, and then we fast because nothing's happened. So we pray more and we pray harder and we pray on our knees, and then nothing happens. Why? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. The most important part of Pentecost isn't the idea that we get baptized in the Holy Spirit to be able to live out the gifts that God has arranged for us. The most powerful part of Pentecost is allowing the Holy Spirit to come into our lives to bring transformation. Just like God transformed Moses, just like God transformed those disciples on the day of Pentecost, just like God encountered and transformed those people, the masses that observed the Holy Spirit coming upon those disciples. The most important thing for us to hold on to isn't the gifts of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm going to explain this to you. Galatians 5, starting with verse 16. Paul speaking. He says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Imagine for a moment. Now I know we're people. Imagine that you are a tree. You are planted by streams of living water. You're this beautiful tree that's growing and blossoming. Now, sexual immorality. Maybe there's adultery happening in your relationship. Maybe pornography has a grip of your heart. Maybe the lust of the flesh is something that is uncontrollable for you. Put a drop of poison in that tree. Impurity and debauchery. It's the same thing. Are you controlled by sexual desires for others? Add another drop of poison to the tree. Idolatry and witchcraft. Are we placing things at a higher standard than we place God? Are we worshiping the world? Are we worshiping ourselves? Are we worshiping relationships? Are we worshiping things? Add another drop of poison to the tree. Witchcraft. Are we operating in anything that is counter to the Spirit of God? Are we operating in New Age practices that we maybe don't think are taking glory away from Jesus? Add another drop of poison to the tree. Hatred. If you hold hate in your heart, you've committed murder. That's a drop of poison. Jealousy. See, jealousy sometimes is... Everyone thinks pastors don't fall into jealousy. We fall into jealousy probably easier than anybody, and I'm going to tell you why. We have this desire to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. And for me, I'll see pastors sometimes that have this great ministry. You see wonderful things happening. And I sit there, I'm like, man, I wish I had that guy's gifts. Man, I wish that I put hands on people and just healed them all the time. Or got prophetic words just like this. I don't. But that's jealousy. And that's a drop of poison to the tree. Fits of rage. Are you easily angered? Easily angered. Do you allow your temper to get the best of you? Or are you a person who lives in peace? If you are a person who is easily enraged, it's a drop of poison to the tree. Selfish ambition. When we seek the gifts of the Spirit, let's be honest, do we do it because we want to possess those gifts for the purpose of glorifying God and showing the love of Jesus to others? Or are we doing it to lift ourselves up? I healed 5 people today. Had 2 prophetic words. Spoke in tongues 10 times. I'm on a roll, folks. Selfish ambition. Doesn't glorify God. Add another drop of poison to the tree. Dissensions, factions, and envy. Are we damaging or dividing friendships or family or relationships that we have? Or are we cultivating a healthy environment in our homes and in our church and in our friendships and relationships? If not, add another drop of poison to the tree. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. It's the lack of self-control in those two elements that we give ourselves over to just licentiousness and throwing caution to the wind and living for the world. Add another drop to the tree. Eventually, what's going to happen is this tree is going to become so poisoned from the inside. Maybe on the outside you don't see it. Maybe the tree looks healthy, but it's dead on the inside. And then what's going to happen is that wind, that Ruach HaKodesh, that came upon the men in that upper room on the day of Pentecost, is going to blow across that tree and is going to destroy it. When we live lives that are in opposition to the character that's referenced in the fruit of the Spirit, we do not have the character strength and foundation to support the gifts. They'll destroy us. They'll destroy ministry. They'll destroy people. You pray for healing, a prophetic word, and your character isn't in line with that of the Holy Spirit, that's hypocrisy, folks. And eventually, people are going to see that for what it is. It's going to destroy them. Ministries will fall apart if they're being built upon these immoral character traits. They'll fall apart. You kind of getting where I'm coming from? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. In the beginning, Paul says to live by the Spirit. He caps it off by encouraging people to live by the Spirit. In the Greek, the translation would say to walk in the Spirit. What's the difference? Walking in the Spirit is allowing the Holy Spirit to be your guide, to be your counselor, to be your director, to pave the path for you to walk on. Walking in the Spirit is allowing Him to be the one that prompts you in every area of your life. And it's so easy for us to walk in the world, right? To take the guidance and the direction and the advice of other people above the advice and direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's not where the gifts are the most fruitful. They're the most fruitful when we are rooted in Christ. Love, the first element of the fruit of the Spirit. Now I'm going to make a point here. You notice how there's all these elements to the fruit of the Spirit, yet the fruit of the Spirit isn't mentioned in the plural. God is an all or nothing God. Let's not get that mixed up. Okay? You can't cherry pick what fruit you want. Right? I want kindness is a good one for me right now. God, let's start there. Right? No. You got to have it all. Amen. Right? You got to have it all. Love. When Moses went up to Sinai to receive the Torah, what were the first two elements? Can anybody recite those to me? Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Love was at the beginning. The fruit of the Spirit, love, is at the beginning. Why? Love is what binds everything together. Love is the perfect reflection and imitation of Christ. Colossians 3:14. It binds us together through the Holy Spirit for the purposes of holy living. I'm going to jump some scriptures out at you. They're not up here, right? We're big boys and girls. We can take notes, right? Or remember. Without love, the gifts and the operation thereof are void, according to 1 Corinthians 13. If you have not love, you are a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. That's where the damage comes in, right? If love isn't the root of the gifts, it's a nuisance to our ears. Okay, it's like nails on a chalkboard. Joy. This element that is birthed from the Holy Spirit through our godly service. Romans 15:13 speaks of that. This joy isn't this temporarily fleeting happiness. Yeah, I got a new toy today. I'm so happy. I got a new car. I got a new house. I got this. I got that. It's a fleeting emotion. Joy only comes in the knowing of our salvation through the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is from everlasting to everlasting. Joy is not a fleeting emotion. Joy is a permanent emotion, knowing where we are rooted. Amen. In the love of Christ. See, you notice why love is at the top? Love trickles down into every element of the fruit of the Spirit. Are you a peaceful person? Are you a peaceful person? Shalom describes a person who enters into a state of perfect relationship, perfect relationship with their fellow man and God. How are your relationships with your fellow man? I don't like people sometimes. I don't know about you. I don't always have peace when I'm thinking about giving somebody a knuckle sandwich because they cut me off in traffic. But then I turn on K-Love and it's all better. We are called to have this perfect relationship with our fellow man and God. It's a characteristic that's consistent with God's will in 1 Corinthians 14, and it reflects the peace of Christ in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Do you reflect God's shalom? Not just to the people you like, but to the ones that you don't like too. Right? It's easy to love those who love you back. Right? But I say to you, love your enemies. Do you reflect peace to everybody? Or do you kind of cherry pick who you show peace to? Patience. Don't go there, Charlie. They say it's a virtue. But God showed perfect patience through His long suffering for us. Do we know that? Look at my darn kids messing it up again. All right, I've got a plan. And it's going to take time. But I'm going to unfold this plan, and I am going to bring wholeness back to my creation. It's patience. It's a bride. It's a girlfriend waiting for the boyfriend to pop the question, will you marry me? It's the bridegroom who's waiting for his bride to become spotless and purified so that he can go and take possession of her and lead her to the wedding feast. It's the picture of Jesus waiting for us, his bride, the church, to become spotless and purified so that we can enter into the fullness that he has for us in eternity. God is patient. We are called to be patient, just like Jesus was with us, with one another. And of course, that's rooted in love. Ephesians 4:1. Kindness. Kindness is an act. It's an action word. It's a doing word. Be kind. Acts of kindness. It's an action. It's the way that we are to be. It's not that we are just supposed to act kindly to those who act kindly towards us, but we are called to, it says, clothe ourselves in kindness, Colossians 3:12. When you step out of your house, when you step out of this church, will people experience the spirit of kindness upon you because you clothe yourself in it? Or are you only kind out of obligation? Are you kind because the love of Jesus is rooted in your heart, and out of that overflow comes kindness? It's just a question. Would you go the extra mile for somebody who didn't deserve it? That's goodness. That's the definition of goodness. Going the extra mile for somebody who doesn't deserve it. That we live according to Luke 6. When we're called to love even our enemies, that we are called to give our tunic to somebody who asks for our cloak. That we go the extra mile. That we say, whatever you ask for, whatever you need, I'm there, out of goodness. Faithfulness. The word here, it denotes how loyal and trustworthy we are to one another. Faithfulness. No matter what you do to me, no matter what you say to me, no matter how many times you hurt my feelings, if you called me on the phone and you needed me for something, I'd be the first person at your door. That's faithfulness. Are you going to be there for people when the odds are stacked against them? When maybe you don't feel like they're deserving of your faithfulness? Are we faithful to God? When we're in those dry desert lands of life, when we're in the wilderness and the darkness, and we feel like God is miles away, if He called on you, would you still answer Him? Faithfulness. Gentleness. It's a humble disposition. which submits to a divine will. A humble disposition which submits to a divine will. God is calling you, every single one of you, all of us. Will we humbly submit to Him and do what He's asking of us, even if we don't want to do it? Go to the Middle East and preach the gospel. No, not me. That's for Him. Humble yourself of a certain character trait that maybe you've grown so comfortable in that you don't want to get rid of it. You hold on to it. It's painful to get rid of it. God says, give it to me. Will you give it to Him? Will you give Him control? Will you surrender yourself to let Him transform and change you? Will you? Self-control. Knowing that when those moments of temptation come, knowing that when the carrot is being dangled right in front of your face, knowing that when the odds just seem so good, so in favor of you, are you going to say, no, I'm going to pray about that, and if that's not from the Lord, then no matter how good that looks, I'm going to leave it there. Self-control. See, somebody who lives by the fruit of the Spirit embodies all of these things, which are rooted in love, which is a perfect image of Jesus Christ. We are called to become an imitation, a reflection, a walking presence of the living God. That tree, that metaphorical tree that we are, when we allow God to transform us, when we go up to the mountain and meet Him face to face and encounter His love, we can't help but to come back changed. When we allow Him to plant in us the fruit of the Spirit, when that wind blows on this tree, when that Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, blows on that tree not only stands firm, but that wind is a refreshing and nurturing wind. It's not a wind that will destroy us. It is a wind that will refresh us so that we can take on those gifts that He desires for us to seek. I want us to take a moment, if you have time. You're not going anywhere. Coffee hour hasn't started. It's traditional that churches, well, maybe it's not traditional, but I would hope it would be, that churches at this time would be praying for people to receive the Holy Spirit upon them. I'm not going to pray for that. Today I want us to take a moment and to reflect and ask God, Lord, will You cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in me so that those gifts have a foundation to stand on, so that when You bless me with those gifts and I impart those gifts to others, there is going to be only more fruit to come. And it will not bring damage or destruction to your creation. I want us to close our eyes. And I want us to use the power of imagination. You're standing in an empty room and it's only you. Go ahead. And then all of a sudden there's Jesus standing right in front of you. I want you to talk to Him. I want you to ask Him, Lord, is there any impurity in my heart that would hinder the gifts from being powerfully used in and through me? And I don't know who it is right now, but somebody's getting a vision that Jesus is replacing their heart with a newly built heart. You don't have to raise your hand if that's you. But if that's you, just say thank you. Say thank you. Holy Spirit, this day and every day is about You, Lord Jesus. And we thank You, God, that You are patient with us, that You showed Your kindness, Your love, Your joy, Your peace, Your self-control, Your goodness to us. Now, Lord, I pray that our lives would be a reflection of those characteristics of who you are. Lord Jesus, instill in us the fruit of the Spirit bound together in your love, so that whenever we go out of these four walls and in our homes and in our places of work and even in church, God, we see people with your eyes, that we love people with your heart, and that the overflow of that love would spur us into showing all of those characteristics. Holy Spirit, come and rest upon our hearts right now. Mold us to be more like you, Jesus, so that we can go out into this world as more than conquerors, but as love warriors who bring an impartation of your presence wherever we go, that we would clothe ourselves in you, that we would walk in your presence. Lord Jesus, let the wind of your Spirit blow upon our hearts today, changing us, encountering us, engaging us in the places that we need to be refined, so that we can come back down from our mountains carrying a transformed presence. In Jesus' name, amen.